today, Scott Pianowski joins me to identify the 12 players who have crazy contingent value this season. That's right. Who is the guy behind the guy? The starter goes down. This player gets a big bump up in our fantasy rankings. That's what we're breaking down for you here today. We've got names like Ray Davis, Isaac Guerrero, but also, yes, some names that you have not considered yet. I promise there will be a few that take you by surprise. All that and more cut up on today's show. Let's get into it. What's going on, everybody? I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast, and it is a hell of a day to talk ball. And joining me to do just that is my good buddy, Scott Pianowski. Scott, what's going on, man?
Not much. Middle of August, middle of draft season. Actually, we're in the second half of August, so a lot going on. ADP's shifting, drafts, salary cap drafts, all this stuff going on. We have new formats on Yahoo this year, so I feel more juiced for the season than maybe I have in a while because there's just a lot of new stuff going on. A lot of exciting changes have been made, and just trying to get my toes into as much of it as I can.
August always feels like a whirlwind every single year, and this year is certainly no different. You know, a lot of new things going on here at Yahoo, which is really cool. A lot of fun stuff. I'm also, Scott, I don't know about you, I'm in probably like 4 slow drafts right now. So I'm in a constant exercise of, oh my God, am I on the clock? Like that little feeling in the back of my head that I'm definitely on the clock somewhere, constantly checking everything. So it's a good time to be alive. We're going to talk a really fun subject here today as we continue on through boom or bust week. We are going to discuss players with insane contingent value. Yes, everybody always wants to know who is the guy behind the guy. We're going to tell you that in this episode. But before we do that, big fat special announcement here. You can now watch this show, the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast, on the Yahoo Sports Network, our first ever streaming TV channel. Yahoo Sports Network is available to stream on Leading Fast, that is free ad-supported television services. It's also streaming live 24/7 on yahoosports.tv, where you can watch all of the shows on your phone or your browser. Scott, you're a big time TV guy now. The people are going to have Scott Pianowski just 24/7 running through their living rooms. Pretty exciting stuff here for the show.
It is. I guess that means the P&O network probably won't debut until it's like 2031. But yeah, you're going to have all sorts of options here. You're going to, you know, we live in an on-demand world, Matt, where people deserve to get their information, their entertainment, whenever they want it. And this is going to make that available to you. You can see a lot of Matt Harmon, his good looking face and
way too much
facial hair and all that stuff. So the bottom line is, look, we're trying to make it most user friendly, right? No more of this. You get to tune in when we say you have to tune in. You tune in whenever you want. You work third shift. You sleep during the day. You have an unusual life. No big deal. You know, you find yourself on a plane ride, which I'm going to be on a plane soon. You know, you always load up the podcast for that, or you're in a long car ride, whatever it is. You know, get yourself set up with these shows and, again, consume the content when it's most convenient for you. That's the great thing about this new project we're doing.
Absolutely. Being everywhere, that's the big focus. Just promise me, buddy, when you do launch the P&O network, I don't need a feature on there. I'm doing enough content, but just get me on for a little guest spot every now and again, just so I can feel appreciated. Just give me that one promise when you do.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. We'll have you telling you why, telling everybody why age 36 Chris Olave is due for a breakout season.
On that note, okay, let's get on to the real show today. Again, we're continuing Boom or Bust Week here on the podcast. There's nothing that can give you a bigger boom than getting that player with insane contingent value, right? Starter goes down, chaos happens. You get this guy off the waiver wire, you stashed him on your bench, you throw him into the starting lineup. They become instant fantasy contributors. We're going to try to not say the word league winner, but you know what I'm talking about when we're talking about these players here. So today, Scott and I are going to identify 12 players with that massive contingent value. We're going to try to avoid some bigger name players. We're going to try to go a little bit later down the draft board. But Scott, your first pick here is a New York Jets running back that we've discussed a little bit over the show the last few weeks. That is Braylon Allen.
Yeah, Braylon Allen, right? So changing for the Jets this year, new quarterback Justin Fields, and he's going to run a ton which is a gift and a curse. Now, the curse of it for fantasy purposes is it takes a lot of yardage off the table, and the running backs can't get that production. But the gift of it is it will widen the defense in theory, and the Jets have some good backs. Now, people are like, hey, wait a minute, I want Breece Hall. Isn't he the starter? Well, they're going to play a lot of Braylon Allen anyway. So he may be somebody you draft who may have standalone value to begin the season if Hall gets hurt. If Hall even gets traded, but I think there's a non-zero chance of that happening at some point this year, maybe even before the season, then it's wheels up for Braylon Allen. Somebody who went into the Big Ten as a true freshman, 17-year-old guy, and just looked fantastic behind that Wisconsin offensive line. I think he might be their goal line hammer. So I don't know if I cheated with a name that's a little bit too famous, and I have one other guy who probably checks that box later in this show, but Allen's a guy I love to draft because not only do you get the contingency value if Hall gets hurt, if Hall gets dealt, if maybe Allen's the better goal line back, those things are all in play. But even if none of that happens, even if Allen gets a bad run out, I think he might be flex worthy, especially when we get into bye week season. So a team that's going to run the heck out of the ball, hope that their defense can keep them in games. I like the coaching hires they made in the offseason. Braylon Allen has been one of my favorite middle round targets.
Yeah, and Braylon Allen still goes very late. We were talking about this earlier this week on the bust show, the six offenses that you might be a little bit skeptical on at this point relative to their projected scoring versus where their players are going ADP. That was with Nate Tice earlier this week. If you haven't watched that, you should definitely check that out. But the Jets were one of those teams, right, Scott, where they're some of their players, two of them, Breece Hall and, of course, Garrett Wilson, are going top 40 in consensus ADP. But the third player is Braylon Allen at deep in the 100s. He's his consensus ADP is still in the 140 overall picks. So this is a guy that you can get. Now he's going to get some steam. He's been getting some steam. There's no question about that. I've bumped him closer to inside my top 40 running backs just because I agree with your theory there that because of just the way they've talked about Breece Hall, because of just honestly the way Breece Hall played last year, he did not put his best game tape out there last season. I think that's what it is. I think there's a chance that Braylon Allen maybe is flex worthy. My question to you though is, if this is an offense that I'm concerned about, I'm interested in your level of concern where you're at with the Jets offense, just with the whole Justin Fields of it all and everything, do we really care about the second running back maybe in the committee? Or do you think there's a chance that, Braylon Allen could actually flip this thing and maybe he becomes the lead back at some point?
Yeah, it's the second thing that I think he could be the lead back. And if nothing else, if he gets the majority of the goal line work, which certainly seems to be in play, any back who has that role on a team, even if it's a lesser offense, is going to be valuable. And I hear you on the concern on the team overall. And, if you're thinking fades, I think Breece Hall is odd. Even if you don't want to sign up for Braylon Allen, if I can get you to maybe remove Breece Hall from your draft list, I think I've done my work here.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I don't know what it what happened with Breece Hall. Do you have a theory on this where, this is a guy that we were talking about as a potential number one overall pick at some point after his rookie year where he had this dynamic start. Obviously he has an injury, then he comes back and what's it going to look like with Dalvin Cook? He just dusts Dalvin Cook that year with the Jets. And then it just seems like it's kind of tailed off ever since then. Do you have a theory on what's happened with Hall or why he's gone from a guy that I think was the darling of the fantasy community to now a guy that is still going high in drafts, but I can't find many fantasy analysts that are touting Breece Hall right now.
Yeah, we've either kind of all unsubscribed from Breece Hall at the same time. The major injury, as you mentioned, just a bad run out. The Aaron Rodgers marriage didn't work with his team. They had to change coordinators at different times. It was a low octane offense, an offense that played at a very slow pace. And then they, recruited after him or, drafted other backs to challenge him, which every team is going to do. But I feel like if you gave 100 simulations to a Breece Hall career, he's in one of the lowest percentages of return just on things going bad for him that weren't his fault, starting, of course, with the injury, but the pieces around him, the line at times has played very poorly as well. So Breece Hall has gotten an unfavorable run out, but we're paid to be cold, unemotional truth tellers on this show. And I got to tell you the truth, you shouldn't draft him this year.
I love this quote that we're showing here from Aaron Glenn on the Jets running backs. We have three good running backs, and I keep saying that. They all have different skill sets that we're going to utilize, and that does not mean I'm trading Breece. I just love having these three good guys. I wish I had more, which we do not wish there were any more.
No.
Four is untenable, but and Isaiah Davis is a name we should mention here as well, that I think Isaiah Davis is a good player as well. So, Braylon Allen definitely more of like – probably more of a contingent value guy than a standalone player, but this is the topic of the show, is those contingent players. So I like the reference there of him. I'm going to stick in the same division. I'm going to go to Ray Davis for the Buffalo Bills, who I think right now, Scott, might be the number one man. This guy would explode if something ever happened to the starter, right? And we've seen it already. Actually, there was a game where James Cook did not play last year. Ray Davis performed extremely well, actually caught like a long pass down the field, which you wouldn't expect, because Ray Davis is more of just a banger back, right? He's a bigger back, runs with a lot of power. Remember they signed Damian Harris and Latavius Murray a couple of years ago? And it feels like they were looking for Ray Davis when they signed those two bigger backs to complement James Cook. They draft Ray Davis on day three of the draft last year. 5'8", 211 pounds. Again, he's got some speed to him as well. He's not just some slug. I think he's a really good back that's well-rounded, who could be probably not a three-down player if anything ever happened to James Cook, but because they have Ty Johnson there, and Josh Allen loves Ty Johnson, and Ty Johnson is even more than just a running back. He's like a passing game weapon. He's also used to like get clues based on how he motions and things like that. So I think that Ray Davis wouldn't just walk into an every touch role, but he's a guy who's been productive in college. He's been productive when he's gotten a chance at the NFL level. So again, I just love Ray Davis as probably like the number one stash bench player right now.
Yeah, I think you're probably right on that. And just don't get tripped up by the ordering of the show today. It means that Matt got into the document before I did. Had I had the first pick, I could have taken Davis or the name that you're going to mention next on our sheet. So just, again, don't be tripped up by the ordering. But we've seen some proof of concept, right? We saw a start from Davis in the middle of last year, and 150 total yards, something like that, 55 total yards. I forget the exact number. Maybe it was 153. Buffalo, an offense we like. It's a kind of a funky offense, right? Because there's no dominant target in the passing game. We know Josh Allen the last couple of years has gone for 27 rushing touchdowns. Maybe that perks down to 7 to 9 rushing touchdowns, which is where Allen was early in his career. But Davis is going to be, it's almost to the point that the person who drafts Cook may feel like Davis is a necessary guy you have to get. I hate handcuffing or, you know, getting two backs on the same team, but Davis is somebody, the moment he's put into the starting lineup, he might be a top 10 running back on everybody's board. That's how much people are going to like him. Like you mentioned him, he's a banger who can hit home runs. He's a banger who can play in the passing game. Buffalo is going to have a top 5 offense. It could easily be the top offense in football if they get some growth from the pass catchers. So yeah, Ray Davis has been somebody I've been trying to draft. I've been getting undercut by him because he's that popular in the community right now, but doesn't mean it isn't the right answer. You know, people always say, oh, you know, I fade the public. The public's always wrong. You know, wisdom of crowds is right an awful lot of the time. Just think of the star players who are stars every year that everybody likes. I mean, don't act like just because the public is on something, it's a bad idea. The public's on Ray Davis. I think the public's right.
In that week 6 game that he played against the New York Jets without James Cook, he touched the ball 23 times, 97 total yards, 3 targets, and 16.7 half PPR fantasy points. So, like, yeah, that's what we could be looking at here. The top back in an offense that everybody agrees is really good. I'm glad you brought that point up about the pass catchers, and I just want to touch on this really quickly with the Bills, because you want to find ways to get access to these great offenses, right? And that's why we're talking about Ray Davis here, that if anything ever happened to James Cook, you would really want Ray Davis on your team. Scott, again, I'm going to reference the ADP versus projections little exercise that we did on the bus show. Like, Nate and I talked about the flip side of that, like the teams that their ADP rank, like how high their players are going, was way higher than their projections. The Bills, league, like everybody that I've looked at, like on average, they project them to be the number one or number two offense, right? And yet they're 30th in terms of like their players, not Josh Allen, like just skill position, running back, wide receiver, tight end. They're 30th in ADP rank. So everybody thinks this is going to be a good offense. Nobody knows how to attack it, right? Like that's, and again, that's why I think Ray Davis is such a good pick here, because like there was a 29 spot gap between how high their offense was projected to be versus how high their players are going in fantasy. Like where, how do we get access to this Bills offense, which everybody expects to be good?
Right. And that refers to the splintering of the usage tree. And this is why we always look for teams that are concentrated, but things could get concentrated if players improve. If Keon Coleman takes a year two leap, maybe Dalton Kincaid, tight end in a third year leap, that can be kind of common. And just to clean up that game about Davis, you mentioned it was 97 rushing and 55 receiving. So I guess the number, I knew the numbers in the 150s.
Oh yeah,
there's 152 total yards, which is obviously the type of and the multiple I guess he didn't have a touchdown that game, but you know, Ray Davis is last year. I mean, he got 6 touchdowns as a backup, right? I mean, they like Ray Davis. He's going to score touchdowns. We would like to see Buffalo maybe hang their hat on fewer guys than right now. I mean, they gave Josh Palmer money. We'll see what Shakir's ready to do opening day. It's just a lot of moving parts to this offense. How many touchdowns does Allen run for? I mentioned that. But Ray Davis also, I think, could have. I could see him maybe settling into a 10 to 13 touch role every week, or you know, 8 to 12, something like that. He may be somebody that you're comfortable playing in a bye week, even if he's not the starter. And remember, you know, Cook unhappy about his contract. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's not ready to go at top speed at the beginning of the season. This is a lot to like about Ray Davis. And to the point that I may force myself into a Ray Davis share or two, I've been getting, you know, people cutting me in line so far. But I don't want to sit out Ray Davis. I think he's going to have a say in this fantasy season.
Don't you think that Ray Davis is one of those guys that, yeah, when you're doing drafts with analysts and other people in the industry, you're never going to get him. But people listening to this podcast, like doing drafts with their buddies or people from work or whatever, like Ray Davis, 130 overall ADP in Yahoo. Like, I think you'll actually be able to grab a Ray Davis exposure or two if you're just drafting with people who aren't totally dialed into this stuff all year long.
He is a little bit of a hipster pick, let's face it.
Oh, I mean, this whole show is the hipster pick. And one last note on that before we toss to break. I actually have come around to thinking Josh Palmer is pretty interesting in this offense. I was curious to hear your thoughts on this, because just quite frankly, like, I charted him his first year with the Chargers and I was like, he's probably gonna be nothing. You know, he just didn't profile as like a very interesting player, but I think he's improved a little bit. And like, again, I'm not talking about a guy who's some screaming future superstar or anything, but he looks like a really nice, useful player that I think could play at X. I think he could play flanker. I think he could even like move into the slot at times, like a 3 position guy. And he really does. He's not a, like, overall, he's kind of an average to below average separator, but he does separate really well on like these big post routes and dig routes, kind of deeper in breakers when he gets build up speed. And I feel like they kind of need a player like that. Quite frankly, I think that's kind of what they wanted Amari Cooper to be last year. I've viewed him more as like a souped up Mac Hollins type of guy, because Josh Palmer was also like a good blocker, dirty work guy who could play multiple positions. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe I think I might, before actually going back and charting him, I thought maybe I discounted his upside a little bit. So I did bump him up to, like, again, not crazy or anything, but a top 60 wide receiver on my board that I put at least in the same tier as Keon Coleman. Like, I think those guys could be kind of close in production.
In some formats where you're starting a ton of guys, or maybe a best ball format where finding 700 or 800 yards, I call those Mohamed Sanu picks, where you're just trying to locate a player who can be a single. Usually in seasonal managed leagues, our late picks are about being home runs, and you really think in ceiling. But there are some leagues where the floor matters. Maybe there's no pickups in your league. Maybe you're starting a gigantic amount of guys. Those Kings Classic leagues that we're in are like that. And you follow the money. They paid him. You mentioned Mac Hollins. He led this team in touchdown catches last year. I realized it was only 5. But I could see maybe Palmer being a slightly better version of Hollins, more versatile with the route tree. And they gave him the money to make us connect the dots. He's going to have a role on this football team. And I think he's draftable 12 team and up. I think Josh Palmer, I almost said Mac Hollins. I think Josh Palmer should actually be drafted in all of those leagues.
I think I agree with that. And again, just I wanted to throw him in here because if we're talking contingent value, any of these teams that it's too crowded, there's not a true number one. Well, let's say a couple of guys get hurt. One of the Bills wide receivers is currently hurt, Khalil Shakir. You know, that target tree can condense a little bit there, and maybe there is more upside to some of these pass catchers if they can actually play. And I think Josh Palmer can play a little bit, be a nice, useful role player. But with that, we're going to throw to our first break. When we come back, we're going to talk through two more running backs with insane contingent value, but might actually have some real standalone appeal, these next two guys. We will get into those players right after this quick break. All right, we are back. Scott Pianowski and I are continuing to talk through players with insane contingent upside. Feels like I'm really going for the TikTok title when I say something like that, Scott. But we're looking for high upside lottery picks late in your fantasy draft. That's the editorial way to talk about this segment here. So, Scott, before I keep blabbering about stuff nobody cares about, give me your next player with a lot of upside late in drafts.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm cheating with this one because Jordan Mason, his ADP has been rising the entire summer. Because what did Minnesota do? They added Mason to be the 1B to Aaron Jones's 1A. And who knows? Maybe that could flip. All right, Aaron Jones entering his age 31 season. Jordan Mason entering his age 26 season. I watched a lot of Sesame Street. That's a five-year difference. I'd be like a running back who's 5 years younger. And, you know, as much as we trust Kevin O'Connell to get J.J. McCarthy up to speed, I could see this offense being, let's have J.J. McCarthy have a lot of 18 for 25 games or 21 for 28 games. Let's not just be pass happy. If we can avoid it, the defense would probably be pretty good. They'll be favored in a fair amount of their games. The Vikings, of course, just one game away from being the number one seed in the NFC last year. They failed miserably in that game against Detroit, then get smoked in the playoffs by the Rams. It doesn't matter. They had 14 win season. Great winning season for the Vikings and a lot of right answers here. But offensive line, we like. I like a younger running back. I think Mason could have some value right away as one of those what the heck flexes, as Sig Bloom would say. But I think he has a chance to beat out Jones at some point. Jones has been a back who usually needs time on the sidelines year in, year out. I mean, that's not unusual at the position. I know we had a very clean run out with injuries last year at running back. I don't think that will repeat this year. So anytime you could fade an older running back, get a younger player whose talent level might be similar. Jones is a better pass catcher, at least has a resume of that. But Mason's going to be rosterable. And man, the weeks that Jones isn't available, Jordan Mason is going to be on the highlight player on fantasy shows. You know, he's going to be the highlight guy when you click for rankings because he's moved up to like running back 8 or 9 for that week. Jordan Mason's been hard to get because, again, hipster pick, it applies with him. And you mentioned, Matt, the fear of you're in so many drafts. Am I missing a draft? Am I missing a draft? And come week one, I'll be petrified I haven't set a lineup. I actually missed one of my slow draft picks. I was out of the office most of the previous day. And I auto-drafted Aaron Jones. And it just, look, I like Aaron Jones. He's had a nice career. I think he'll do something nice this year, but it just made my heart sink because I'm not drafting Aaron Jones at all. And why am I not doing that? Because I want Jordan Mason.
Yeah, I feel you on that. I think I've taken Aaron Jones once in a draft because it's a full PPR setting and it was like the 9th or 10th round, and you know, I'd kind of punted running back early a little bit, full PPR type format. So I was like, all right, I think Aaron Jones will catch a few passes here or there. But yeah, running back 27 ADP for Aaron Jones, 74th overall, and that's kind of going down over the last 7 days in Yahoo drafts. Before we talk about Mason here, I was kind of curious, like, is Aaron Jones just completely on your do not draft list here? And do you, like, is there any thought in the back of your mind? Because I'm a full-on Jordan Mason guy this year too. He, I think, is going to break out this season. And again, if I'm taking a back from this offense, the 74th overall ADP for Aaron Jones and the 90th overall ADP for Jordan Mason, I know which way I'm going to. But do you have any doubt in your mind that, hey, maybe we're jumping the shark a little bit with a guy that in Aaron Jones, who the team did re-sign? Like we always say, oh, they paid Jordan Mason. Well, they did bring back Aaron Jones as well, gave him a little decent contract. Do you think we're maybe jumping the shark here a little bit in putting Aaron Jones on the shelf?
The one thing I'll say about that is I think it's conceivable as Jones's ADP continues to slide and as Mason becomes more of a helium pick that right before the season, I'm going to get in a draft and the entire room has just decided that, you know, Jones is retired, that Jones is just not relevant anymore. And I'm going to say, wow, I'm getting like a 2 or 3 round discount on Aaron Jones. I think people are going to be getting that right before the season because of the flow of the ADP trends. So I'm open-minded to, at some point, you just say, what the heck? I can't let this go any further. I've been fading Tyreek Hill everywhere. And I got into a salary cap graph the other day. 14 was the number. And I'm like, well, I'll go 15. I can live with it. If it dies at 15, it died at 15. I have since tried to trade Tyreek Hill to about 4 or 5 teams in the league. I even made a challenge trade with Frank Schwab. I offered him to for Terry McLaurin. Unfortunately, Frank already has some Miami investments. He didn't want to go overboard with them. I understood it. He regretfully said no to the deal. McLaurin has his own issues right now with the contract. But the thing with Jones is that at some point he can slip far enough that he's a value. I don't know if we're there yet. People can decide for themselves. I could see myself shrugging and holding my nose and picking him maybe at the end of draft season. But right now, I'm really trying to collect as much Jordan Mason stock as I can.
Yeah. Like I said, in this one draft that I did end up taking Aaron Jones, it's the Apex Writers League draft. It's, again, it's a very heavy wide receiver league. So there's a lot of just, I had to take, I took Rashid Shaheed in the 7th round, because like that's what you have to do in this league, is you have to take wide receivers way earlier than you should in any other format. Josh Downs went in the 6th round. Okay, like that just explains exactly what goes on in this league. It's wild stuff. So obviously loaded up on receiver early, wanted the running back late. I really wanted Tyrann Tracy in this late 8th round pick, but he went off the board, and I did. This was my only time I took Aaron Jones here, just because I'm weighing him against guys, you know, that don't have real pass catching roles like a Caleb Johnson and stuff like that. So I don't know. Didn't love it, but I did make the click. That's probably the only time I'm going to end up taking an Aaron Jones draft pick at some point this year. But yeah, for Jordan Mason, man, I'm only saying that because I'm very much with you that he is a guy who I think has real standalone value, could absolutely lead this backfield in touches, could lead this backfield in touchdowns for sure. And I've made this point a lot, but he showed really well on gap runs, like up the middle, power at you stuff. It's very clear that's what the Vikings want to do with their 3 interior offensive line additions. A lot of beef there. Adding Jordan Mason there just makes so much sense. But Aaron Jones will still be used on like kind of the outside zone concept. So I think there's a way these guys can coexist together, and Mason has standalone value. I think Mason will have some level of standalone value, but if Aaron Jones ever missed time, yeah, I think we'd be ranking Jordan Mason, what, Scott, as like a top 15 back every single week.
At least that. I could even see him getting inside the running back 1 cut line, so ostensibly one of the top 12 backs, but it would be a wheels up, here we go.
I think this is absolutely true for my next pick as well. That is Zach Charbonnet of the Seattle Seahawks. Another guy that kind of goes in this same range where Jordan Mason does. 111th overall ADP right now for Zach Charbonnet. He's been kind of in the mid running back 30s all throughout draft season. And look, I say this as someone that is absolutely okay drafting Kenneth Walker in round 4. Like I've said earlier this week, your 4th-round picks are never going to be perfect, okay? They're always going to have some flaws. Like, Scott, I think this is something you've instilled in me a lot over the years. Like, if a guy didn't have, like, you know, people ask you, well, are you concerned about Kenneth Walker being able to stay on the field? I'm concerned about something about everybody in the 4th round. If I wasn't concerned, they'd be going to the damn 1st round. You know what I'm saying? So Kenneth Walker has issues in his profile, but I'm really high on this Seahawks rushing changeover here, the scheme that they're going to undergo, the change they're undergoing from Ryan Grubb last year, which was a mess, to this year with Clint Kubiak. So I want to get some exposure. Getting exposure with Kenneth Walker in the 4th round, I do think has a lot of ceiling to it. That being said, I think Charbonnet, again, is a dude. He can absolutely play. If you look at like his success rates and yards per carry on zone concept runs, which is what they're obviously a Kubiak is taking over here. That is what they're going to do. That is what they were doing over and over again in the preseason. He's had just as good as metrics as Kenneth Walker in those formats and those type of runs. And also, like this report that came out from Brady Henderson, our account tweeted this out as well, the Yahoo Fantasy handle. Kenneth Walker's issues and Zach Charbonnet's ongoing ability to impress the Seahawks, quote, suggests that the Seahawks backfield could be more of a timeshare than a typical starter backup arrangement. And like this makes so much sense to me, man, because if we're all sitting here talking about, Yeah, Kenneth Walker, he's got injury issues, right? He can't really consistently stay on the field, and he's always dealing with something. We're managing him right now in the offseason. Well, why the hell would you not want to take some burden away from him, especially when you have a proven good number two? So I think Charbonnet should be analyzed and projected and drafted in the same way of a guy that we just talked about in Jordan Mason.
Again, you hustled to the sheet, to the script before I did. So, you know, maybe that's good on you. Maybe that's bad on me. People can decide on that. Maybe I, you know, I was actually having lunch or something. I was on the putting green.
You were probably out on the golf course, buddy. You actually have like a something that resembles a life right now. I do not.
So. Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but good I was off making my second career hole in one. Maybe that's it. Who's to say?
Yeah, who's to say? Put the picture up of that on the pod, for God's sakes.
Yeah, but do we know that Kenneth Walker is better than Zach Charbonnet? Because last year, there's a lot of different ways to evaluate players, and you know, some stats can have noise in them, but Charbonnet had a better yards per carry, better yards per reception, better yards per touch, scored more touchdowns on less touches than Walker did. It's a new coaching staff or new offensive coaching staff with Kubiak. This is not to denigrate Walker, say he's a bad player. And the fact that Walker's needed to miss time his entire career, that's kind of standard with running backs anyway. So it's not that I'm a Kenneth Walker hater. It's just I see Charbonnet being just as interesting a player who goes later in drafts or around the same age. Charbonnet is a year younger. So I always thought that Charbonnet had a decent chance to maybe take over the job or be the head of the committee, even if he gets it to 50-50. I'm always going to want that back who's the second guy, especially with all these efficiency stats suggesting that Charbonnet could be as good or better than Walker anyway. To me, and you know, when I disagree, you mentioned you were okay with Walker where he goes, and I know Justin Boone recently put something on social of five players he's targeting that thinks are going to really tilt leagues this year. And I agree with pretty much everybody. He said the one guy I didn't was Walker. And this is all based on my thinking that Charbonnet is just a much better pick, makes a lot more sense from a cost, risk, upside perspective, just as an investment. You think about these things as investments. I just think you're getting as much upside and you're getting a lot more floor. And not a lot more floor, but a lot more value where he goes. And I can't pull the trigger on Walker in round four. I want to be available to take Charbonnet, and it's not going to be that much longer. And I even think as we get close to draft season, I talked about the shape of the Minnesota ADPs. I just think Charbonnet is just going to keep gaining on Walker and gaining on Walker to the point that they almost become dog whistle players. What is a dog whistle player? That's when the first guy gets taken and then the rest of the room is on alert that if I want the other guy, I better act pretty soon. I would not at all be surprised last week of Yahoo drafts, if there's only like maybe a round or round and a half of separation on these guys as they're seen really as a 1A, 1B. So yes, this is the classic eat this, not that. Draft this, not that. Draft Charbonnet, in my mind, do not draft Kenneth Walker.
Okay, yeah, because my read on it has been take one or the other. Don't take both, mm-hmm. right? Don't do that.
No. Don't do that. Oh, God, don't do that. You don't bunt. Yeah. I don't want you to bunt. I want you to swing for home runs.
Correct.
You're bunting when you take both guys. I hate that. Well, I got the backfield covered. You know, it doesn't always work that way. And sometimes there's a running back we don't know about who is better than you think. And maybe Jalen Milroe has to play. He'll run a lot, take stuff off the table, or maybe just take the offense off, you know, drive into a ditch somewhere. I want you to take the understudies, the contingency guys on other people's teams, right? And I know I mentioned in Buffalo, maybe if you had Cook, you might be looking at Davis. But really what you want to be is the Davis manager who spites Cook. You want to be the Charbonnet manager who spites Walker, right? That's what you want to be.
Yeah, 1,000%. That's exactly the way I would do it. So I'm not taking both, but I would take one or the other. And again, I have been okay with taking Kenneth Walker in the fourth round. I actually really like taking Kenneth Walker in the fourth round. So you and I do disagree a little bit on that. But again, just to make the point about how close these guys are as talents, you go back to the 2023 season, because last year, again, just such a poisoned rushing environment. I don't really love looking at the efficiency metrics there. So 2023, more of a real offense. On zone concept runs, according to Fantasy Points data, Kenneth Walker, 44.9% success rate, 4.05 yards per carry. Zach Charbonnet, 46.5% success rate, 4.14 yards per carry. Like, very similar players, right? So I think for Kenneth Walker, like big time backers, and I'm not quite all the way there, although I really like, again, like him in the fourth round, it's mostly an appeal to, well, every time these two guys have been out there, the coaching staff has just defaulted to always playing Kenneth Walker all the time. Well, guess what? This is a new staff. Like, this is a new offensive coordinator. And I think Clint Kubiak really likes Kenneth Walker, but I also think Clint Kubiak really likes Zach Charbonnet as well. And there's no reason for him not to. So I'm just not sure that that holds a lot of water. And again, that quote that we threw up there, it makes so much sense. Like, if we're worried about Kenneth Walker's durability, why would we not want to get some Zach Charbonnet in the mix here? So I really like that analysis. And just real quick on the Jalen Milroe stuff, if he ever starts, yeah, you're playing him in fantasy. Like, that just is what it is. So I'm glad you mentioned the name there. Although we'll see. Drew Lock might be the actual backup quarterback there, so I don't want to go too crazy on the Milroe stuff. But anyways, with that, we're going to take another quick break here. And we come back, we have more running backs, but also maybe some different position players to talk about with insane contingent value. All that's coming up right after this quick break. All right, we are back. We are continuing to talk through some players with insane contingent upside. I love saying it in that like mock social media bro tone. But Scott, give us your next pick here, a running back with a big time ceiling if the starter ever goes down.
Yes, this is an easy one for me. So Bijan Robinson is my number one running back on the board. Want the ascending players, guys who are stars who haven't had their career season yet. But if something happens to Robinson, we've already seen proof of concept that Tyler Algier is a pretty good football player. The offense is better with a full season of Penix after suffering through Kirk Cousins, couldn't run the entire playbook last year. I want to see Bijan play 17 healthy games. If I could give out 17 healthy games to a running back, he may be the first guy I'd give it to. Again, I have him tops at my board. I'd like that to be correct. But we already know that Tyler Algier, this is a case where if Robinson got hurt, I would immediately think Algier is good for 85 or 90% of Robinson's production. So maybe something in that neighborhood anyway. And again, that'd be somebody you would be locked and loaded starting every week, no questions asked. This is a pretty easy leap of faith too, because we already know the guy can play. Offensive line looks reasonable to me, probably a tight concentration with the usage there. A lot of things to like about the Falcons. I think they could be a carnival team as well. Tyler Algier, if I don't get Robinson, I talked about not wanting to back up and double up in backfields. I do think that's not the right play, although the Robinson managers are going to scream, I should have gotten Algier. Why'd you tell me not to do that if Robinson ever gets hurt? Doesn't matter. If you don't get Robinson, Tyler Algier should be one of your, one injury away. Here we go. This could really tilt my season picks in the middle rounds because a good football player. And obviously, this is another reason why I always talk about not backing up your starters. We know Algier is the number two. That isn't true in so many cities where we're speculating. Could be this guy. Could be that guy. Could be game flow dependent. No. If Robinson's hurt, Tyler Algier wheels up. Here we go.
A couple things here. Number one, you keep bringing up how I got into the doc first and like took all the good names. I purposely did not say Tyler Algier and the next guy that you're going to talk about after the next break, because they were such big layup lines, Scotty, and I wanted you to slam it in the basket on that one. So, I mean, I left you Jordan Mason too,
which is, who's a hipster pick as well. So yes, you did. You're a team. Never let it be said that Matt Harmon is not a team player.
Yeah, I'm happy to take the discount to boost up my guys, right? I'm basically Tom Brady. But what the hell am I talking about?
A little
now?
Better looking than Tom Brady. Can we say that?
And also all natural too. This is not, I haven't had any work done on this face. This is just like
more stable in relationship. I think your marriage will outlive the Giselle Tom Brady marriage too. I'm hoping I'm right on that. There's a prediction I want to get right. If I get that wrong,
we're trending the right direction. We're trending. She hasn't gotten into jujitsu yet, but we're trending in the right direction there. So, another thought about the Tyler Algier thing. I feel like either people are sick of Tyler Algier, or like just because he's been in our lives for a little bit as like this exact player, or it's because everybody is doing what you're doing and just we are wish casting, we are demanding 17 games of Bijan Robinson that people aren't even like drafting Algier as much as like as aggressively as they should be because we just don't even want to put that into the universe that Bijan's going to miss time. Because if I'm looking again, I'm looking at ADP over the last 7 days in Yahoo leagues, a couple guys we've talked about already. Braylon Allen is going higher than Algier. Ray Davis is going higher than Algier. Trey Benson, who we're not going to talk about it. I don't think either of us have him on our list, but like he's going higher. Another guy that we're going to talk about, two other guys that we have yet to talk about as backup running backs are also going higher than Tyler Algier over the last 7 days in Yahoo Draft. Because again, I think maybe it's just too easy, but yeah, like of all of those players that I just mentioned there, and some of them I'm very much in on. I already talked about Ray Davis. You already talked about Braylon Allen. We've got two more guys coming up on this list here. I know Tyler Algier is good, and I know the Falcons offense is going to be at least fantasy friendly. We'll see how good. I'm pretty optimistic on this Falcons offense. But yeah, Tyler Algier, also just one last thing before I throw back to you, Scott. Like I keep talking about, hey, what if they introduce more man gap concepts into the run game in order to become more explosive when they were the most heavy zone team last year? Tyler Algier last year, 5.69 yards per carry on gap runs. So he can also do it if they do introduce more gap runs, even though he had his best season as a rookie under Arthur Smith's very, very heavy outside zone scheme. So it's easy. No Bijan Robinson. You start Tyler Algier, period, end of story.
Right, and just his age, 25 seasons, so it still could be a player on the escalator, still could be somebody who has efficiency spikes coming. And I also want to point out Zach Robinson, their offensive coordinator, McVay, Tree, second year, right? It took him a while to get comfortable with the play sheet. He had to deal with the limitations of Cousins. That offense was cooking much better in the second half and even the final quarter of the year. So I think it's possible that Zach Robinson has a little bit of a spike year as well, or just becomes a more efficient coordinator. You know, when you have the play sheet for the first time, it's an intimidating thing. And then when Kirk Cousins says, hey, I don't like to do this, I don't like to do this, I don't like to do this, like, okay, all your plays are getting thrown in the trash. That can be a really daunting thing. I thought Robinson acquitted himself nicely in the second half of the year. And Atlanta, there are a lot of fun predictions. You know, like we're going to be asked to make bold predictions later in this draft season. And things like Penix leading the league in passing yards, or maybe Drake London leading the league in targets. I saw a piece with a couple of Yahoo people who were doing Madden Sims, and one of them had the Falcons going to the Super Bowl. I'm not saying any of those things are things that you would, you know, bet your mortgage on or anything, but are they plausible? Are they maybe more likely than the public conceives? Yes, that I would sign off on. There's a lot of dreams, a lot of fan fiction with the Falcons. And I think somebody accused C-Mac of doing some fan fiction with the Falcons. He's from that area. But I'm dreaming of high ceiling outcomes with the Falcons that I think are in play this season.
Well, I didn't bet the mortgage on it because I do want my marriage to outlast the Tom Brady Giselle union. But one, I did personally bet on Drake London to lead the NFL in receiving yards. You know, pretty decent odds on it too. So
good, man.
I think that is within the range.
A perfect second round pick, by the way.
100%. I have him ranked 10th overall. I'd be comfortable taking him in the back half of the first round. So
of course you
very
would
happy
be.
To get him in the say. Of course I would be, Scott. And I'm going to talk about a wide receiver here. Go for it.
I'm sorry. I did a salary cap draft on Sunday night. James Coe was in that league, and I loaded up on receiver, and Drake London was one of my players. And at one point, I just said in the room, well, at least Harmon's going to like my team. And I think Coe immediately, you know, put the check mark or the heart or whatever it was, the emoji. Because when you're drafting, you shouldn't be grinding the player pools. You should actually be talking with your friends and trying to be silly and laugh and all that stuff. You know, I don't know how that team's going to do, although I think I'm projected to go 12-2 or something like that. I don't know what that means, but I drafted a team that Matt Harmon can be proud of, and a big part of that was getting – I went no stars, just talent. I don't really have a quote-unquote first-round pick, although you might say Drake London belongs there, but I have a lot of Josh Jacobs types. I have a lot of – I mentioned I got Tyreek Hill in that league. I didn't love it, but it was $15. But the centerpiece, the cover of my media guide is probably Drake London.
Well, hey, what's more important, winning a championship or me appreciating your team? Let's really focus
right.
On
and I have a team here. I can promote, right? I have a team I can brand. I have a team True. I can take out to market. I can get marketers on this team. I may get an investment from you because this team is obviously going to the moon, right? So here's the bottom line, man. Get Drake London. And if you don't get Robinson, I really want you to get Tyler Algier on the back of your roster.
I'm going to stick to brand here. I'm going to talk wide receiver. Wide receiver actually has some insane contingent value. I think is Luther Burden, rookie wide receiver for the Chicago Bears. Scott, I talked earlier this week with Faraz about how jacked up I was seeing that deep dig route from Ricky Pearsall with the anticipatory throw from Brock Purdy. Loved seeing that. Another thing from preseason that got me fired up was Luther Burden out there with the backups blocking his ass off, baby. That's the type of thing. Forget like, oh, cool catches, mm-hmm. making plays after the catch in space. That's the type of thing that's going to ingratiate him to head coach Ben Johnson. No block, no rock. He said that, right? He said that not so subtly about DJ Moore. And that's why I think Luther Burden is a great post-buy rookie bump candidate, right? He's a guy who can Olamide Zaccheaus, I think he's going to be a thing in this offense, and he might just keep Luther Burden from fully breaking out this year as that kind of interior slot flanker guy. But nevertheless, like, let's say Zaccheaus, smaller player, gets hurt. Let's say DJ Moore gets hurt. Like, I mean, I think that you're just going to drop Luther Burden right in. I know that in the preseason, DJ played more X receiver and Rome played more flanker. We've jumped the shark with preseason usage a little bit, right? Where it's like, oh, this is what they're going to do in the regular season. We don't know that. They're just trying stuff out. So I still think that in most scenarios, Rome's going to be the X and DJ is going to be the move around guy. And if that happens, like DJ is that player, you're dropping Luther Burden in that role if anything ever happens to DJ Moore. And like, look, I'm high on this offense. Everybody's kind of high on this offense taking a step forward this year, especially in the back half of the year. That should be Luther Burden time, Scott. So he's not somebody that, like, I think he will be one of those guys that gets drafted and likely dropped if he's not playing much in the first few weeks. But there could be a lot of scenarios where we're talking, you know, in November, like, this is the guy you want on your rosters.
Yeah, the point I want to make about the Bears, I see a slow developing Polaroid here. Minnesota and Brian Flores in week one, the Lions with a healthier defense now in week two. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if Caleb Williams gets off to a slow start. I know they beat the snot out of the Bills in the preseason, vanilla defenses. I really don't care about that. But you really hit the thing I want to underscore about what you said is Bird might be a great player who you don't draft. Somebody else cuts him. Bye week season kicks in, that manager is in trouble, they have to cut Burden, it hasn't happened yet, and then you swoop in, you get him for basically no acquisition cost, just the cost of the worst player on your roster, and then he blows up the middle of the season, the second half of the season. We see so often rookies do something impressive in the second half of the year when they're more familiar with the NFL. So that's kind of the cadence of Burden and how I want you to play it. I do like the contingency upside, but I think you can probably get invested in the middle of the season.
Yeah, we're going to go to break here, but just generally about rookie wide receivers, there's been a lot of rookie hype this preseason, I think, because everybody loves, like, dynasty content is bled into redraft content, best ball content is bled into redraft content, but not all these rookies are going to hit right away. So remember, like, you don't have to be the one that drafts Luther Burden or Jaden Higgins or Jalen Noll from the Texans, you know, or even Jack Best from the Raiders, something like that, but you Kyle Williams of the Patriots, but these are guys with a lot of contingent value, so keep those guys on waiver wire speed dial. All right, with that, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Scott's got a layup line to hit. He's going to just drill this next backup running back into the basket. We will get to that right after this. All right, we are back. We're continuing to roll through our high upside lottery ticket players here. Scott, like I said, I left you this one. I wanted to talk about this guy, but I'm a generous man, so I left you Isaac Arendo of the San Francisco 49ers. Let it rip, buddy.
Yeah, Harmon had the layup, but he threw the alley up to me. The problem is I can't get over the rim, so I can't dunk it. I'm going to catch it. I'm going to lay it up too. We know what the story is here, right? Christian McCaffrey, great when healthy. Seven last seasons. He's had four unbelievable breaks the seasons. He's had three seasons that wrecked your season. Which season is coming here in 2025? Who's to say? But Garendo, the clear back number two here, he's back on the field after dealing with a shoulder injury earlier in August. He's played at a high level when he's been asked to play. I know the Niners don't have the greatest offensive line these days, but still a Shanahan offense. Yeah, anybody in that Shanahan family, Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, they know how to design a running game. And Garendo, and I keep saying, I don't like you to draft insurance. I wouldn't blame the McCaffrey manager if he felt like he had to get Garendo. This might be my one exception to that rule, because it's that clean. The payoff is that significant. Again, it's not the way I like to play, but I might make an exception here. But we could have mentioned Garendo earlier in the show, and you were kind to leave him for me on my trip through the script. You know, again, Matt Harmon, team player, never let it be said otherwise. But we all see what's possible here. Anytime a Shanahan backfield has an injury, And last year, we talked a lot of Jordan Mason, right? I mean, why do we love Jordan Mason? Because when Jordan Mason was tapped on the shoulder, he was ready, man. In fact, he knew in week one he was going to play. He couldn't tell anybody. He admitted it after the fact. Everybody got mad at Shanahan, whatever. The coaches, they don't care about our fantasy teams. They shouldn't care about our fantasy teams. I'd like them to be just not – don't blatantly lie to us, I guess, is all I'm really asking for with that. But I've said too much. Everybody sees how clean this is. Isaac Arendo could have been the first name we mentioned on this show.
1,000%. And he is being drafted like that, right? He's one of those guys I mentioned that is going at pick 129. So like right ahead of a guy like Tyler Allgeier. And he is somebody that I definitely want to grab for obvious reasons. Like you said, Scott, I'll just underscore this, that when he was on the field last year, he made some big plays among running backs with 80 plus carries. This is the ranking in terms of percentage of explosive runs. Number one, Jahmyr Gibbs, 10%. Easy number one player there. Jordan Mason is number two. Derrick Henry's number three. Saquon Barkley's number four. Isaac Arendo is number five. Not a coincidence the two 49ers backs are up there. This is a great rushing ecosystem, which you want to invest in. On zone concept runs last year, Arendo averaged 5.37 yards per carry. So he is definitely a guy that can rip those big plays, even on like kind of more stable runs. So really good player. And look, I think number one, if you're one of these people that's just like, I am not, and I know you are lower on McCaffrey this year, right, Scott? If you're lower on McCaffrey this year, you should be all over Isaac Arendo, right? This is a guy that you should be wanting to, if you just think there's no way that McCaffrey's going to stay healthy, well, then that should lead you to Arendo. And secondly, I do think there's maybe some scenarios, this has never happened when McCaffrey has been with the 49ers, but would it also not behoove the 49ers to get Arendo, or, you know, maybe it's Jordan James, their rookie running back, although Garendo's been banged up. Every running back actually except CMC has been banged up this summer right now. They brought Jeff Wilson back into the building. That's how desperate we're getting. But yeah, I think maybe it's a guy like Jordan James, but it might behoove the 49ers, if you want to keep McCaffrey healthy for the stretch run, to give Arendo some work, man. So I don't know. It's an interesting thought process that maybe there could be some standalone value for Arendo.
Bottom line, if you are, say your fantasy penetration is 3 to 5 leagues, promise me you'll get Arendo on one of your rosters at least.
Yeah, be aggressive to do it. Guy I'll talk about here, only tight end that we're going to do on the show, Isaiah Likely, Scott. And look, I know he's dealing with an injury right now. He might miss some weeks into the season, so I'm not sitting here and telling you to draft him, right? He's the tight end 25 in consensus rankings. I have him right in that range too. Scott, you are the guy, right, that's always saying don't draft into injuries in August. They're going to find you. Well, you don't really have to draft Isaiah Likely, right? So I actually think, like, hey, just keep him in mind and remember that if anything happens to Mark Andrews, I think we immediately launch Isaiah Likely into the top tight end rankings. Because again, this is an offense much, much similar to the Bills. Outside of Derrick Henry, nobody is drafting, and Lamar Jackson, obviously, nobody is aggressively drafting Ravens players, and yet this is a top two offense projected across the board. So you want to get some exposure, especially when the volume is clear. And if there's no Mark Andrews, the volume will be clear on Isaiah Likely.
If I had to bet right now, one team in the NFL, and whether it be points, first downs, yards, anything like that, the Baltimore Ravens would be my pick. So I want to bet on the ecosystem. I certainly want to bet on the talent of Likely. You have to wait for it for a little bit. This is another case where maybe you swoop in where he's drafted, dropped, you get involved, and we don't risk injury on anybody. But the moment Mark Andrews got hurt, Isaiah Likely might be like tight end 7 the next week in the rankings. There's just such an obvious ceiling here.
And we'll see on the injury, right? But this is a guy they wanted to give a contract extension to, so they certainly believe in Isaiah Likely as well. I think you should as a fantasy drafter. All right, we're going to take another quick break. We come back. We have a few more NFC South running backs to talk through right after this. All right, we are back. We got a couple more backup stash running backs for you, Scott, starting with not the number two on a depth chart for you on this one. Give us your next pick.
Yeah, Sean Tucker, Syracuse, man, the 11th Ivy. Shout out to Dave Michaud. Sean Tucker's better than Rashad White. I think the Buccaneers know it. When Tucker was asked to play last year, I realized it wasn't a big sample. 6.2 yards per carry, made splash plays in the passing game. We've seen him put up some good tape in preseason. He's not going to beat up Bucky Irving. But again, I think he can beat up Rashad White. White's a little bit dinged up as well. So maybe to draft Tucker, you might need to see him ascend on the depth chart before your draft or this summer. Maybe he's somebody you pick up off waivers. Maybe he's somebody who's drafted and cut. Bottom line, if Sean Tucker gets a start this year, he'll be an automatic DFS play. He might be a top 10, 12, 15 running back. Last year, he had a blow-up game when he was asked to play. It's all based on him. And he was somebody who would have been drafted a lot earlier. There's a heart issue with him coming out of Syracuse. He was actually a really good college player, but he just had an odd trajectory for his career because when some of the health issues kicked in, he didn't play as well at the end of his time in New York. But I always talk about how many great running backs there are, how many great fantasy running backs there are that never get a chance to play. We never find out. And Sean Tucker's one of those guys. I get this feeling we're going to find out this year and they're going to find like 125 or 150 touches for him no matter what. And man, God forbid Irving gets hurt. I could see even if Tucker were third on the depth chart, I could see if Irving did get hurt, they just said, well, we're going hot hand. And then that first game, Tucker's the hot hand. And all of a sudden, he's the guy who's percolated to the top. Maybe you need to be in a deeper of league to be targeting Tucker. But man, in those medium and deeper leagues, he's one of my favorite, like Mr. Relevant final round picks, Sean Tucker on speed dial.
Well, this is one of those, like, you're just investing into a good rushing ecosystem with Sean Tucker, right? Because they were seventh last year in rushing success rate. They were fourth in EPA per rush, were the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And they're just, they had a lot of explosive plays. Like Sean Tucker is an explosive runner, sixth in rushes of 10 plus yards. He's just a really, he's a good back, right? And I think we've seen the talent. We see the offense that he is playing in. And yeah, I think that if like you said, God forbid Bucky Irving goes down, it wouldn't just be Rashad White gets all the work. Sean Tucker would get into the mix here, Scott. So yeah, it's just like, if you, for a lot of this segment, we have tried to, not universally, but we've tried to pick like good teams, right? You know, okay, let's say something happens to whichever player on the damn Browns and like, oh, we're talking about backup, like, okay, great, you're talking about the number two backup running back on the Browns, you probably don't care all that much. But I think the Bucs are still going to be good this year. They might regress a little bit, which, no kidding, they were one of the best offenses in the NFL last year, but I still think they'll be a top 10 unit. They'll be really good, provided Tristan Wirfs can get back healthy. So why would we not want to have any depth pieces from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
What's your level of concern with the coordinator change?
Not zero, right? Just because I think Liam Cohen was so good. He pushed all the right buttons. I've been working on Mike Evans lately. And so I've just been, this Bucs offense is fresh in my mind. And it really sticks with me, like how much they use Jalen McMillan, who, by the way, is now out until potentially the week nine bye here. Used him to kind of blur the lines between slot and outside receivers. There was a play against the Panthers where, like, Jalen McMillan's in motion at the snap, and like technically he'd be the slot receiver, but by the time the ball is actually in Baker Mayfield's hand, he basically runs like an outside vertical route, and Mike Evans becomes the slot, and he just gets wide open over the middle of the field. And like, that stuff is just so good, right? It's so, so good. Is Josh Grizzard going to be able to push all those right buttons? He was involved in the proceedings last year, obviously, so that's good. He's not like a total unknown here. It's an internal promotion, but you just never know. So I would say level of concern is maybe like, it's a six, like it's more than five, but it's not 10, just because I do think I'm more concerned about Tristan Wirfs' injury and just like how the receiving core has gone from super deep on paper to now it like, well, Mecca Ibuka better, and I think he will, but he better be ready to start and be awesome from day one. And Mike Evans better not get hurt again, or otherwise we're talking about a pretty light group of pass catchers.
Yeah, five or six was kind of where I was going on that. So I think we line up on the level of concern. But here's the thing, too. I know Baker Mayfield's going to regress, and I've been playing that drum all summer and everything. But when you have a veteran quarterback, this is maybe a more of a Detroit Lions tweet where, okay, coordinator change, but you know, was Jared Goff going to forget everything that worked the last few years, right? Baker Mayfield still has that knowledge. He still has that chemistry with Mike Evans, right? They added a lot of talent to this team. Worst injury is certainly something to be concerned about. But because they have a veteran quarterback, and I realize maybe it's easier to trust Jared Goff than Baker Mayfield because Mayfield's had more stops and starts to his career. But the Buccaneers are going to give some of it back. I get it. Liam Cohen's a big miss, but it's still going to be, there's still a lot of stuff you want to draft here.
Yeah, I agree. And obviously Sean Tucker can be one of those deep stashes. I don't know if you remember this, Scott, but like I always associate you with Sean Tucker because last year in the Kings Classic Salary Cap League, where I actually had a really good team, didn't end up winning the title, but I had a good team and survived some injuries on that one too. Like I had Godwin and Rashid Shaheed on that team and we just kind of scrapped through. But I needed like a starting running back because of buys and injuries 1 week. And I was this close to picking up and starting Sean Tucker again in that game against the Saints against you, which would have made the difference, eventually lost. So whenever, and I think I texted you about it later, I always associate you with Sean Tucker. So I'm actually, when I saw that you put his name on the docs, like how fitting, maybe Scott's like, he's unknowingly twisting the knife one last time. That was probably the difference between being like the one seed and not in that league for me.
Well, my season died in the vine. I think when Rashee Rice got hurt in week three, a great call by Drew Davenport to not worry about the suspension risk, but he didn't mention to me who's going to get hurt in week three. Love you, Drew Davenport. Also a great salary cap proponent. We did some salary cap content recently. I hope you check that out. But you did better than I did in the Kings Classic, and that's why I'm in a different room than you this year.
Perhaps. All right. Another guy that I think is going to do well this year is Rico Dowdle, backup running back for the Carolina Panthers. Again, this is another situation where we're just talking about like a good rushing ecosystem. The Panthers last year were 9th in rushing success rate and 9th in EPA per rush. And if you just look at the back half of the season, they were 12th in overall offensive EPA once Bryce Young got back in there. I am betting on that continuing. I'm betting on this team taking another step in year two of Dave Canales, Tetero McMillan in the offense as the X receiver. Chuba Hubbard is the guy I'm definitely drafting into. I will say that Rico Dowdle seems like he's entrenched as maybe the third down back. Now, that could just be like he's the protection guy, but he could also be like a deep, deep what the heck flex if you do need to throw him out there for some hope of catches if he has that role. Because the good thing here for, I think, both Hubbard and Dowdle is that fourth round pick Trevor Etienne does not look like he's going to have a big role to start, at least. We'll see if maybe he earns it throughout the course of the year, but not been a factor in the offense early in preseason. We'll see if that holds up. But yeah, this is a good offense. I think it's going to be a good offense. It's a good offensive line, an ascending quarterback, a play caller I like, a play caller who he said when he got hired by this team, I'm going to show you how stubborn I can be in the run game. And he definitely, he did it to good results. Like I said, top 10 rushing offense last year by EPA and success rate. So I'm really interested in drafting Chuba Hubbard where he goes, especially in like half PPR, not full PPR formats. I think he might not be totally high volume as a pass catcher. But if anything happens to Hubbard and he did miss a few games at the end of last year, we've seen what Rico Dowdle can do with opportunity. We saw it last year way too late in the season for the Cowboys.
Yeah, I like how you spelled that out. Just the infrastructure here is better than people realize. With Canales, that line, Bryce Young ended the season on a nice uptick the final third of the year. I am also a Hubbard guy, but running backs do get hurt. We're never going to see such a clean run out with running back injuries last year. So Dowdle is certainly a guy. Again, I won't go that path if I have Hubbard, but if I don't have Hubbard, Dowdle on a sneaky, I think we might look back at the end of the year and see, man, the Panthers were not only useful for fantasy, but when you bake in what the ADPs were, what they cost, they were a really efficient. They're like a car you get that gets really good mileage. It's not the flashiest car. You know, it's not the car that everybody gravitates to or dreams about having or puts on their wall when they're in high school or whatever, if people still even do that. But it gets you from point A to point B and gets decent mileage. That's going to be the Carolina Panthers in 2025.
Rico Dowdle right now in Yahoo drafts goes around like pick 128. So again, this is another guy that we talked about that is going slightly ahead of Tyler Algier, but these guys are all sort of in that range, right? Like the players that we're talking about here, you know, we've talked Rico Dowdle 128 overall. We've talked Braylon Allen 127 overall. We've talked Ray Davis right in that same range. Again, I think Trey Benson maybe factors into this, but like Garendo, Algier, this is, once you get to like the end of your draft, just stash these guys and see what happens. And I think Dowdle is somebody that probably doesn't get grouped into this enough, get grouped into this mix enough, because he is a player who is, you know, he's just a little bit under the radar, signed like a low money deal, but does look like he has a role on this team. So really like that. All right, we're going to take one final break. We come back, we have two more players to talk through on our list. We'll get into them right after this. All right, we are back. Final running back, Scott, to talk about that has some big time contingent value. Let it rip, buddy.
Yeah, Roshan Johnson's going to be my guy. I think he's maybe a little bit underappreciated. He played at Texas with a lot of other good running backs, and maybe he didn't get the workload we expected. DeAndre Swift, I know he has a background with Ben Johnson, but I think he's limited in talent. Maybe Roshan gets the goal line role. Maybe this is the what the heck flex, even if things don't pop his way exactly. What if Swift fumbles? What if Swift plays poorly? What if Swift gets hurt? I think there's a case to be made that Roshan Johnson is going to lead this team in rushing touchdowns, maybe could lead this team in touches. And I talked about slow developing Polaroid, right? Minnesota for Chicago in week one, Monday night, then they get Detroit in a short week. Lions will have their defense back after everybody getting hurt last season. So I think it could be a slow liftoff for this team, but I still want to bet on Ben Johnson long-term. And because I'm not a Swift guy, and because I think Roshan Johnson just needs more of an opportunity to spread his wings. He didn't get it at Texas last year. Who was going to succeed really in this offense? Where Shane Waldron had no idea what he was doing. The offensive line played so poorly. Roshan Johnson, once you've already set your lineup and you're drafting backs where you're just looking for things that can go right, looking for upside, looking for ceiling, looking for a possible goal line role, those are a lot of boxes that Roshan Johnson can check for you.
And by the way, like, of all those backs that we just talked about in the previous segment, like these ones that we've run through, even some guys we didn't, like Trey Benson, Roshan Johnson not getting drafted in Yahoo leagues right now. He's been dealing with some injuries in camp. That's one thing to keep in mind. But and also, I know Coach Speak Index has talked about, has noted this consistently on Twitter, that like reporters, like Ben Johnson's been there, you know, and he's been asked zero questions about Roshan Johnson, 0.0. So like somebody ask a question about Roshan Johnson, like, does Ben Johnson like Roshan Johnson? I guess we'll find out when the games start, because nobody asked him a question about old Roshan Johnson. Yeah, we've got the tweet up right now. We're now 21 plus Ben Johnson pressers in, multiple Declan Doyle, Ryan Poles pressers, no questions about Roshan. So I guess we just don't care. I care because I'm with you, Scott. Like, I think this is an offense that could be really interesting. Nobody really believes in DeAndre Swift. Like, we don't know how much the Bears even believe in DeAndre Swift, but he's kind of in that no man's land in fantasy drafts. It's like, well, I guess I got to take a running back here. I guess I'll just go ahead and take DeAndre Swift. Why not? But Roshan has shown an ability to pass protect and win at the goal line, and like pass protection and converting in short yardage, doing the dirty work. That does kind of sound like a player that Ben Johnson would like, no?
Well, we've seen Ben Johnson have some spirit animals, right? Jamal Williams, didn't he lead the league in rushing touchdowns? They always had a healthy role. And Jamal Williams at that point wasn't maybe the most talented player. David Montgomery, better than Roshan Johnson, you would think. But he always had a role, even after Jahmyr Gibbs showed himself to be a special talent that, you know, with a ceiling that Montgomery can't match. Keep this one other thing in mind, too, okay? Goal line role, that's a lot of times like the nebulous closer thing in baseball, where you have a team, bunch of relievers, don't know who's closing. And the first time the team is a ninth inning lead, they hand the ball to somebody and he converts and they all shake hands. What happens? That guy gets the next save chance. Goal line carries are like that, right? So what Roshan Johnson needs to do, this is critical. Week one. Oh, hey, cool. Pass interference call in the end zone. First and goal at the one. Here comes Roshan. You punch that one in, baby. You might be a made man for the next 3 months, okay? You're going to get – or maybe they'll give it to you on second down too if you don't make it the first down. You got to convert early. You got to get that baton in your hands. Ownership of that role is like 90% of possession, so whatever that expression is, you know. So get whoever converts the first one. And even if Swift does get that first one, once Roshan Johnson proves that he can handle that role and if he shows some success in it, that's going to be teams just want to have a button they press. They don't want to get cute and think, and who is it this time? Whose turn is it? No. They want to have a guy. Baseball managers want to have a ninth inning guy press the button. Football play callers want to have a goal line guy press the button. So Roshan Johnson, I'm imploring you. I said this team may not start that fast. You got to start fast. I don't care what you do. The pass blocking is great. That will get you on the field. When you get first and goal at the one, my friend, you got to punch it in. We need you for the season.
I like it. Again, I just think he's the player that we're not talking about enough. Like, the fantasy industry is not talking about enough. And
Ben Johnson's not talking about him.
Yeah, Ben Johnson's not even being asked about him. Somebody asked.
There you go. Chicago media is all excited about it. The wrong guys. It's really this offense. Look, T.J. Moore's a nice player. You mentioned Burton, who they drafted. Roma Dunze, year two. Colston Loveland's got people excited. Isn't this really the Roshan Johnson offense? Come on. I'm kidding. Everybody can tell.
That sentence right there is like, we're podcasting too much. So with that, I'm going to transition us to our final player here, my final pick. And look, it's Michael Pittman of the Indianapolis Colts. I'll be transparent here with the audience that I made the switch to Michael Pittman mid-show. So a lot of conviction here on this one. But I think I'm finally in a place, Scott, where it's been a few days where I can actually get myself to care a little bit about the Colts quarterback situation. Because when it first got announced, I was like, I see everybody out there on Twitter having takes about like, oh, they failed Anthony Richardson. I mean, how about don't fail to complete 50% of your passes? There is that. You know, you can also just play well. You know, they failed Anthony Richardson. Or, oh, well, this is great news to the moon for the pass catchers because Daniel Jones is going to come in here and save this crowded wide receiver room. I don't think that is going to happen. And I don't have the first day couldn't get myself to care that much about it, but it's been a few days now. I'm willing to imagine what this offense looks like with Daniel Jones, especially Scott, because we have since digested some things that Shane Steichen has said about Daniel Jones starting, one of which I don't believe for a freaking second, which is that Daniel Jones is the starter for the entire season. Shane Steichen said last year when he benched Anthony Richardson, Joe Flacco was going to be his quarterback for the rest of the season. He lasted two games and Richardson was right back in there. So there's at least part of me that is squinting at like Anthony Richardson's agent is, you know, giving quotes to Adam Schefter about how, you know, he does feel like the team, maybe the fractured relationship, all that. So maybe Richardson is like not even on this roster in the regular season, although I would be surprised about that. Still, again, that is on my radar. I would generally still right now, unless Richardson's not on the roster, I would bet against Jones starting the full season. But for when he is out there, the other thing that Steichen has said, he keeps bringing up Daniel Jones's 2022 season, right? Which, by the way, love to sell. Literally exactly what I was thinking here. Hayden Wink's tweet on this one. He keeps bringing up this 2022 season, which, by the way, like, I don't love like bringing up a season that long ago about, yeah, that's why we should be excited about our new starting quarterback, Daniel Jones. Anyways, but that season, as Hayden points out, this is exactly what I'm thinking here as well. So Hayden and I are on the same page. Daniel Jones, it was a lot of just smoke and mirrors, get the ball out quick, don't push it down the field. Very similar, honestly, to the 2023 offense with Gardner Minshew. And if you look back at that season, Michael Pittman, in this like RPO kind of scammy, just stay on the tracks, just keep the train on the tracks and get it out quick, Michael Pittman was seventh in first read target share that year behind Devontae Adams, Keenan Allen, Tyreek Hill, DJ Moore, Garrett Wilson, AJ Brown. He was right ahead of Stephon Diggs and Amon-Ra St. Brown, according to fantasy points data. So I think this would require an injury to Josh Downs. Again, contingent value. Josh Downs is already hurt. You know, Tyler Warren maybe also needs to get hurt for this too. But again, contingent value here. I do think Pittman is a guy that just, I feel like we've maybe mentioned Pittman's name in passing twice throughout the entire last couple of months. Like because again, I love Josh Downs. Everybody loves Josh Downs. But let's not forget, Scott, and I'll end it here and throw it to you. Michael Pittman is a good football player. As much as I'm excited about Josh Downs and I'm intrigued by a lot of these pass catchers, Pittman is good. From 2021 to 2023, he had the back injury last year. This guy was right at 74% success rate versus man, over 80% success rate versus zone and press coverage in reception perception. Like, he's not an elite player. He's not a guy that wins a downfield, but those success rates are so high, and those are all really good numbers. Those success rates are all so high. Just to put it in context, that's the against man coverage in 2023. He was 80th percentile, 68th against zone, 93rd percentile against press. Those are so good because of those quick hitting routes. So again, it might require a Josh Downs injury, Tyler Warren to maybe start slow, something like that. But I could see a scenario we're talking weeks, like in week five or something, Michael Pittman has a lot of catches on some of these scammy. It's not fun to watch, but just look at the stat sheet because of the RPO stuff with Daniel Jones. Am I crazy? And just like, is this all nonsense?
I don't think you're crazy at all. I mean, and you said with reluctance going back to Jones's 2022 season, because it's 3 years and NFL seasons age like dog years. But Jones, depending on your scoring system, was anywhere between the quarterback 9 and the quarterback 12 that year. And I realize a lot of that was pushed up by his rushing production. He's over 700 yards rushing. He had 7 touchdowns. But his receiver room that year was the top guy was Darius Slayton, 724 yards. The second guy, a player I haven't thought about in a long time, Richie James, 569 yards. The third guy, Isaiah Hodgins, 351 yards. I mean, there's nothing.
Remember the Hodgins run there?
Man, I mean, Rondell Robinson was a rookie. Sterling Shepard was around. They weren't using Barkley a lot in the passing game at that point, and he missed a little bit of time too, I think. But the reason why Richardson lost his job is he couldn't matriculate the ball down the field. Those PPR scam completions, he wasn't making them. So we go back to Pittman, good player, a lot of pieces in this passing game. But the bottom line is the passing game has, whatever you think of Jones, they have a better chance to succeed because Shane Steichen knows it. I don't know if he's going to admit it out loud. He's coaching for his job. He can't think about maybe what's best for the team is to play Richardson all year and see what you got. Try to develop him and all that. Shane Steichen's plan is I got to stay employed here. I got to be in Indianapolis next year. And if they don't have a successful season, that's not going to happen. He obviously feels that for now anyway, Daniel Jones gives him the best chance. So, hey, I'm more open. I don't mean to dump on Richardson, but I'm more open to the pass catchers in this offense because Daniel Jones is the guy. I don't think there's any way to avoid that. And because Pittman has become a player, everybody in your league has been burned by Michael Pittman. If you play in multiple leagues a year, at some point, Michael Pittman has got you. I don't think it's been his fault. We talk about like DJ Moore was in a not-your-fault all-star and Terry McLaurin was in it's not-your-fault all-star. And then they land in better situations sometimes and they pop. You know, we certainly saw it with McLaurin last year. Nobody's suggesting Daniel Jones is that guy, but I'm open-minded. Michael Pittman went from I'm not going to draft him to, okay, if the price was a giveaway, I'd draft him to now I can actually do it and feel good about it. Because again, the only goal I have in a draft is to make sure the Matt Harmon bot likes my team. The reception perception bot likes AI intelligence likes my team. So how am I going to do that? I'm going to draft Michael Pittman in the late rounds.
My God, that is the last thing we need. We do not need a Matt Harmon AI, you know, cyborg or whatever the hell it would be. We definitely do not need that.
You are a cyborg. Come on. Own it, Matt. You are. I mean, you're putting in big time reps, big time volume. You know, I mean, you're going to break down at some point, but it's not going to be this year.
I like that you threw that in there too. Like at some point I will break down, right? Talk to me in week eight, like, right? Talk to me in week
eight. Yeah, the curse of 370. You're doing like 370 shows a year, you know? I mean, didn't Aaron Schatz teach us anything?
It's a great point. I need to refresh the FTN almanac and make sure I get my work in there. So, okay. Just last point on the Daniel Jones stuff. That year in 2022, among quarterbacks with 150 plus dropbacks, 6.4 air yards, average depth of target, average depth of throw. So the only one lower than him was Colt McCoy. Colt McCoy.
There you go.
We're talking PPR. Colt McCoy was doing a YouTube show. Colt McCoy was doing a YouTube show last year with Josh Norris, and we're talking about that. Shane Steichen saying that 2022 season for Daniel Jones, that's going to be really
PPR scam,
so,
baby. I don't make the rules. PPR scam. Let's do it.
I love it. All right. That is going to do it for us today. Scott, tell the people real quick what you're working on before we give some exciting news about what's coming up this weekend.
Yeah, all sorts of stuff, writing and social media and some Discord stuff, which Fantasy Plus subscribers can get. But I really want you to subscribe to the Yahoo Fantasy Football newsletter, which will hit your inbox a couple times a week, maybe three times a week during the regular season. Tips. Look, here's the bottom line. We're going to make you smarter. We're going to make you more prepared to draft. And we're going to do it in a really concise manner. You'll get it every day. And you read it over your coffee or whatever you do in the morning, your English muffin, your orange juice. I don't know what you do, but you should read it. It will only take you a few minutes. It'll get you better prepared to be dominant in those drafts, make good decisions. So if you sign up for that, you know, even if you don't like it, just sign up for it and put it in your spam folder. I don't care about that. Just sign it up. Look good for us. And I'm putting a lot of work and a lot of heart and soul into it, working with Jason Kabaka and our editorial team. So if you can come along for the ride, I'd really appreciate it.
Hell yeah, that is absolutely going to make you smarter and a better fantasy player. And also, what else will make you a smarter and better fantasy player is Yahoo Fantasy Plus. Listen, you got to check this out. There's so much good you're going to get from it. If you sign up for Fantasy Plus today, you get personalized draft kits, advanced player projections, min-max projections, stuff you're absolutely going to love. All you got to do is sign up today, yahoofantasy.com/plus, dominate your leagues. Get out there and win. You can also find the link in the YouTube description of this podcast. As I have said repeatedly, We're going to Las Vegas this weekend, baby. On Sunday, we are going to be back with a very special edition of the show from the Venetian in Las Vegas. Justin Boone, Scott Pienowski, and even Charles McDonald is going to get down in the fantasy muck with us. We're going to identify the 12 riskiest players worth gambling on this fantasy season. Also, if you are in Vegas, come hang out with us there as well. So until Sunday, we are out.